couple of days before Veterans Day, and we've got Mike Waldron on the line with us this morning. He's the executive director of an outfit called 23rd Veteran. He's been our guest on the show before, and we're so glad to welcome him back again. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lisa.
Nice to have you on the line with us. So you,
thanks for having me.
You were just making a presentation to the legislature. You went to D.C., and you talked about a program that is an offshoot of 23rd Veteran called 23rd Veteran Recon, and it's a program that some people are thinking could be a national model or should be a national model. Tell us a little bit about this.
Sure. The program called 23V Recon stands for reconditioning. And what we're doing is reconditioning our brains after traumatic experiences in the military so we can live more successful and happy civilian lives. The military does a really good job at training us how to have a military mindset, but that mindset often doesn't apply very well once we come back to the civilian world. So we have this 14-week program that helps us develop the civilian mindset and retrain our negative triggers from combat or other traumatic experiences to new positive memories. So it begins with a bunch of veterans going to the mountains together from the Duluth Superior area, and they build camaraderie out in the mountains for a week. They come back and they work out together three times a week for another 13 weeks. It's an hour workout, and then after each workout is the positive psychology and memory retraining program for half an hour.
One of the things that has been talked about in mental health circles for a long, long time is the importance of exercise, whether it's, you know, really strenuous exercise, as veterans might be people that are really used to, you know, they're really fit and they're used to that kind of stress, stressful, intense workouts, or even, you know, for other people, just walking, perhaps, but exercise is a key component. That seems like that is really a key component of this program, too.
That's right. Yes, as humans, we've always needed to exert physical fitness on a daily basis, and we changed that recently after the Industrial Revolution. So when we get our heart rate up above an aerobic state, our brain releases a lot of chemicals that it's supposed to release. Some of those are like antidepressants, some are anti-anxieties, some are the feel-good, the endorphins, the runner-high chemicals, and the one that we like, that we designed this program around, is called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and that is abbreviated BDNF. That is our brain growth hormone, or our neuron growth hormone. So it acts like a steroid for our memory. So that's the whole purpose of doing this workout together for an hour before the positive psychology session. If we get our heart rate up above that aerobic state, and we can release this memory steroid, and then we can change our brain much quicker or build new strong memories much quicker than we would otherwise.
And this is something else that they've talked about a lot with mental health, is that an extended period, I know, of depression, for example, or anxiety, can actually change your brain. There can be some actual physiological changes. So it sounds like you're combating those brain changes on a couple of fronts, one of them being exercise and getting people moving, and the other then, as you mentioned, is adding new positive memories. Can that make a difference? I mean, sometimes we think about traditional mental health therapy and we concentrate on your problems and we talk about all of the things that are wrong and maybe how you can fix them. But nobody seems to say, hey, you know, let's do this and put this happy thing in place of the sad thing. I realize I'm oversimplifying,
sure.
But...
No, it's perfect. I can give one example of what we do. When we're in combat or even when we're on a deployment, these days our enemy is not wearing a uniform. So we tell ourselves that everybody that's not on our team is possible enemy. We're watching every man, woman, and child for a weapon or a trigger, and that gets locked in our brains. And that doesn't change just because we get on an airplane and come back to the United States and are often conscious, but even more often subconscious. Our brains believe, you know, civilians are possible enemies. So we try to go out to like a restaurant or a sporting event where we used to be able to go and relax and have fun, And we find that it's a high-stress environment. We're trying to watch everybody. We want to have our back to the wall. We don't like it when there's noises. We don't like it when we can't see who's coming through the door. And that causes a lot of anxiety and often panic. So with this program, 4 weeks into it, we bring civilians in, and they become part of the team. They go through the workouts with them 3 days a week. They go through the positive psychology each time afterwards. And then on the weekends, we go to restaurants, and we go play laser tag. And we're going to try out the new trampoline park. Once we're ready for it, we'll have like a fireworks and firearms party. And ensuring that the civilians are there with us the entire time and part of the team, we are building these new strong memories that, hey, civilians can be fun, trustworthy people. So the next time we go to a restaurant, we don't have to assume everybody's possible enemy. And that's, I'm talking more of the subconscious level. So in myself, we didn't talk about it much, but I was in combat about 5 years afterwards. I fell into some pretty severe symptoms of PTSD, and the worst of them being panic attacks. I was having those every day, if not multiple times a day, for many years. And after doing very similar things, and that's the whole reason we built this program the way that we did, with the adding the civilians and the camaraderie and everything, after doing this to myself, I stopped having panic attacks. It wasn't that simple. It was a long-tried time figuring out what it was, but once I did figure it out, my panic attack stopped. In February, will be 3 years without one.
Do you think that this program appeals to veterans because, in a sense, it's not really touchy-feely? It's kind of really straightforward. And, of course, it does have that component of, you know, again, physical exercise and giving you something that you can actually do, physically do, to feel like you're moving forward.
Yeah, the first point that you brought up, we've tried really hard to keep it, you know, somewhat within the veteran culture. We do use swear words in the program. I can't tell you what all the rules are of the program over the radio.
Because I'd have to kill you.
Right. So yeah, we definitely stay away from the touchy feely. We don't believe that anybody's broken. We don't believe they have a disorder. We believe that their brain was changed so that they could be awesome in combat. It's just that awesome combat brain doesn't work so well in the civilian world.
So you just need to get an awesome civilian brain back, and
exactly.
You're golden. Mike, one of the other things that you another change that you've made in your own life that, of course, is near and dear to my heart, is that you have adopted Dexter, who is a young black lab. Or he's a special kind of lab. Tell me again his breed.
You say British lab.
A British lab. And he is just a scream. Now, obviously, there are this whole therapy dog, service dog thing can get really blurry, and there are very strict criteria for what constitutes a therapy dog, what constitutes a service dog. But Dexter's been going with you. He's been making a lot of visits to veterans and people. What kind of an effect is he having?
He's amazing. He's, number one, having a huge effect on me. And number two, everybody else that he gets to meet. So he's trained to be a veteran therapy dog. He goes to the VA in the Silver Bay Veterans Home, and he's been to UMD in the Veterans Center there. His whole purpose is to get pet and to give hugs. He is there to bring smiles to people and to take their mind off of any ailments they may be facing in the moment. And it's really, really cool. We were in D.C., like you mentioned, this past week. He got to tour the White House. He got to meet his congressman and others and some senators. But most importantly, we found time to get over to Walter Reed Military Hospital. And he met someone who's currently serving, a veteran, who was hit by a grenade a couple weeks ago. And he's from the Duluth area. And he was over in Walter Reed. He's pretty busted up. He's been there for 10 days. And according to his sister, he hadn't smiled in those 10 days until Dexter showed up. That's the first time she's seen it on his face. It's really amazing. I'm a very proud puppy daddy.
It is really difficult not to smile when confronted with Dexter, but you do. He does need to learn whose lap he can sit on, because he's a big moose monster, and he wants to sit on laps and, like you say, and give hugs. And there's just something, of course, so uninhibited and pure about a dog's affection that it really is hard to resist.
Absolutely.
Mike, what do you think is going to come out of your trip to D.C. now? Apparently, Congressman Nolan is excited about the idea of putting together a public-private partnership to help expand the program. Do you think that's going to come to fruition, or is it too soon to tell?
Well, I'm the kind of person, once you tell me you're going to do something, I do my best to hold you to it. And that won't be any different for the congressman. So, yeah, we'll put the work into it, and we'll help him, you know, however he needs to be helped, to move forward with a bill to expand 23rd Veteran to help veterans around the country. Something we didn't talk about is, so half of what we do in 23rd Veteran is this brain reconditioning program for the veterans. The other half of what we do is community education. So we teach why our brains are supposed to change in a traumatic situation and why we bring that home with us. And that's exactly what we were doing for Congress. So hopefully the people that were in that room walked away with a solid understanding of why our military is coming home with a different mindset than they leave with, and what they can do to create a better transition coming out of the military if we can make that a long, smooth transition. And I think what Congressman Walz calls it is a glide path coming out of the military, then our veterans could be much more successful on the front end and not have to seek the services of the VA and all of these nonprofits that are popping up. Because as a nonprofit, we are in the business of putting ourselves out of business. Hopefully one day that'll happen.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's always great to talk to you. And drive safely. Don't let Dexter sit on your lap while you drive.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Waldron is the executive director of 23rd Veteran.